from the very beginning, when we look at the writings of St. Paul, we see that the church has consistently taught that there is a universal call to holiness. That means that every baptized Christian, male, female, all of us in every walk of life, lay and clerical or clergy, all of us are being called to holiness. St. Paul says that God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight. At some point throughout the church's history, though, while the teaching remained, the understanding of holiness kind of got put on the back burner. People thought, well, holiness, that's for the priests, that's for the monks, that's for the nuns, these people who dedicate their whole life to God. And in the 1960s, the Second Vatican Council revisited that and reminded us once again that all of us are called by God to be saints. So what does that mean then? We talk about holiness. It goes back to the very origin of humanity, that God made us in his own image and likeness. What is God? God is love. Therefore, holiness is quite simply that. It's the perfection of charity, the perfection of love in the soul through grace. I say through grace because sin is what diminishes us and makes us unlike God. Grace, on the other hand, takes sin away and restores the image of God. In such that throughout our lives, we're always turning away from sin and going back to the Lord. So that we can say like St. Paul, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And that's the point. We call ourselves Christians, and we are. We are the body of Christ, which means that we are meant to be Christ's presence here in the world. When people see us, they see us as God made us, our own physical being, our own minds, our own abilities, our own voices, our own hands, our own bodies, doing God's work in the world. That's all true. Each of us being individuals. However, it is Christ who comes manifest in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, in who we are and what we do. Christ should be seen as his body, we, the church, is present in the world doing his work. All of us are called to sinlessness. You look at me and say, Father, that's impossible. We can't be without sin. Well, Jesus himself said that. He said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And our charity can be perfected in this world. Is it going to be? That's up to us. But it can be. So that it is no longer we who live, but Christ living in us. He gives us that grace through baptism, through all the sacraments, to control our actions, to control our passions, to control our desires, and to order everything toward God. And Jesus said it's all about that, love of God, love of neighbor, training the will to choose good over evil in every instance. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifetime of prayer and of practice to seek peace with God, to seek peace within ourselves, and to be at peace with one another. Remember that it's not enough to want to be merely good, not to look at goodness and say, I wish I could be like that, but to actually practice it, to be good, most importantly, to be saints. As St. Teresa of Lisieux put it, we must be saints in the fullest degree. We cannot be a half saint, either we are or we aren't. It's like being pregnant, we can't be half pregnant, it's one or the other. Same thing with our sanctity, to always be in a state of grace, reaching toward God. That's the message of the gospel that we just heard, the transfiguration of Jesus. He takes Peter, James, and John, goes up on Mount Tabor, and there, as St. Matthew says, he is transfigured before them. What does that mean? Up until that point in time, they saw him as the carpenter from Nazareth, the itinerant rabbi, who may or may not be the Messiah. They weren't quite sure as of yet, but they had an idea that he just might be the one. They knew his humanity. Jesus was a man like us in all things but sin. But at that moment, they saw who he truly was, the divine Son of God. The second person of the Holy Trinity, who is God from God, light from light, became manifest through his humanity, and they saw him shining through that. Notice that Jesus appears with Moses and Elijah, through whom the Jewish people received the law and God's word to remain faithful to the law and the prophets. They get excited and say, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And then they hear the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It was also Jesus preparing them for the fact that he was going to suffer and die, but that death wouldn't have the last word. He was going to rise from the dead. And it's a reminder to all of us of the very same thing, that we are called to let Jesus himself shine through us, and even though we are weak human beings, he forgives our sins, grants us sanctifying grace, so that when we die, as we will, death does not have the final word. We pass from death into life because of the life given to us by Christ. That's the whole point. We die because of sin, we live because of grace. What makes us who we are, by Christ, lives forever. Thus, St. Paul says to us through Timothy, "Beloved, you're going to have difficulties in life, you're going to have weaknesses, you're going to have personal hardships that come from within and from without, but bear your share of all these things. That's your cross. Bear your share of hardship for the gospel's sake, and do it with the strength, the grace that comes from God." Why? He saved us. He saved us by his death and resurrection. Through baptism, he calls us to a holy life, not because of anything we can do of our own, but because he wills it. It's his own design. And he has given us grace, bestowed on us in Christ Jesus, something he desired to give before time even began, made in his image and likeness, to do his will, not our own personal will. Everything through the appearance of Jesus Christ, who destroyed death, who brought life and immortality to light through the gospel in us. It's not by ourselves, but by the love, the mercy, and the grace of God. And so these works that we do during Lent, our prayer, our fasting, our works of charity, all important. We can do all the things, like fasting and being generous and offering and penances and such, but none of these things have any effect unless we are a people of prayer. That is paramount. I was blessed this weekend to offer First Saturday Mass at the Carmelite Monastery in Lafayette, and was able to visit with the sisters Friday evening, and we discussed the importance of prayer. And it brought to mind something that some people think. You know, these nuns don't go out into the world. They don't teach in schools or work in hospitals. They remain cloistered. You know, they stay at their convent behind the grill, but they're always praying. They pray constantly for the church throughout the world. Every Carmelite monastery does that. And people say, "What use are they? They're behind walls. Oh yeah, they pray and they grow their gardens and they do their work in the monastery, but they spend a lot of time praying." And my thought was this. Well, you know, when you have a car, you put oil in it and you put gas in it. You don't see the oil, you don't see the gas. But without either, the car doesn't run, the car doesn't move. And the same thing in the church. Without the prayer of its members, we have nothing. We don't move, we don't run. Those sisters are praying for us. We must be praying too, for ourselves, and must be praying for one another, to be in constant contact with God, always opening up our hearts and our minds, our souls, to his grace, his mercy, and building a foundation upon which we can build the actions of fasting, sacrifice, and works of charity. Two things that we have, brothers and sisters, penance and Eucharist. These sacraments, combined with our prayer, make us powerhouses. When we go to confession and find ourselves cleansed of sin and make a place for Jesus to dwell in holiness in our hearts, great things happen. He gives us the grace to cooperate with the gifts that he gave us in confirmation, producing the good fruits that come from those graces. He gives us faithfulness in carrying out the marriage vows, where husbands and wives can say to each other, "I promise to be faithful and true to you in good times, bad times, sickness and health, in everything, to love you and honor you all the days of my life," and for us as spouses with our families to worship God above all things, to let our daily lives be something of work as a means of glorifying God and assisting one another, our lives of prayer of being sanctified. If you look at the sanctuary, you see two statues behind me, one on either side, St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother. Rarely do we think about them as human beings like ourselves. Neither one with formal education. St. Joseph, a man whose hands were strong and calloused, working as a carpenter. Mary, who was a simple housewife. Both of them simply listened to God and did his will. They did their everyday work with faithfulness. Yes, they had the Son of God in their midst as their own son and raised him up, but Jesus listened to them as they listened to him. And we call them the Holy Family for a reason. Their life was centered on God, as ours should be as well. In our penance, we teach ourselves to be restraining, training ourselves, correcting ourselves, even also correcting one another in charity to build up the body of Christ, but in everything to be dedicated to the glory of God and the good of others. Notice in Scripture that whenever a sacrifice is offered to God in the Old Testament, of a goat or a lamb, it's always got to be without blemish, without sin. If our work is done worthily and well, if our prayers are offered worthily and well, if we give ourselves to God, heart, mind, and soul, worthily and well, which means without blemish, without stain or sin, God does magnificent things for us. We all agree. Our world is upside down. Our society is upside down. The world needs to be transformed for the better. That's us. We're here to do that. We're the body of Christ in the world, here to continue Jesus' work to sanctify society. We can only sanctify and transform society if we are sanctified and transformed as well. There is a need for us, the people of God, to be holy, for the Lord our God is holy, to be another Christ, to be his presence as his body at work in the world.